Today on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
It's 120 grand in extra profit that you can make per year by having this person. And you think, oh, well, yeah, but less their wages. I'm like, no, their wages are already paid.
Ever feel like you're sprinting your business but still falling behind? You know you need more help, but the thought of hiring makes your stomach churn. What if they're no good? What if they quit? And what if we run out of work? Tune into this episode where we discuss why waiting to hire is a killer of business growth, and why the way you are thinking about hiring is probably wrong, and the practical steps you need to take to make sure you get this right.
You might have even heard horror stories about bad hires. Maybe you've had some yourself.
We don't even know what we're looking for in an ops manager. How will I know if they're even any good?
Or you've seen other businesses grow really quickly and it just turned to custard for the owner.
You get it wrong because you're desperate.
Well, that means the tradesman was no good. It doesn't mean you didn't need the tradesman.
Making the right decision is half the story, but making the decision right is the other half.
What if I train them and they leave? I mean, what if you don't train them and they stay?
You're listening to the Profitable Tradie Podcast, where every week we help you make more money, get your time back, and make life and business a whole lot more fun. Join us as we transform your plumbing, electrical, or similar service business into a successful operation. Don't miss a beat. Hit the follow button. Let's get started. Well, welcome to the Profitable Tradie Podcast. Phil Smith, my good mate, co-host, is here. How you doing?
Yeah, fantastic, man. Feeling great. How are you?
Good.
Awesome. Good to hear. Let's get into it.
Tony here, in case everyone doesn't know.
Yeah. Hey,
anyway,
Tony.
Anyway, yeah. Good. Yeah. Okay. What are we talking about? Because this is important. We've been talking about this a lot lately.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about when you're flat out busy, but growth just feels impossible. So you know you need another pair of hands or maybe three. But, you know, hiring feels expensive and risky. So you might have even heard horror stories about bad hires. Maybe you've had some yourself. And you're worried that, you know, you'll train them up only for them to leave. Or you've seen other businesses grow really quickly and it just turned to custard for the owner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Custard. So pretty yep. Bad stuff.
The result is you put it off. You work longer hours. You burn yourself out, but obviously to have a successful business, you've got to have more people to help.
Yeah, well, you need a team behind you.
Yeah, you can't get time, money, and freedom without a team. Otherwise, it's...
Yeah, well, without a team, you're a one-man band running around doing everything. So, yep. I mean, that's not really a business. It's just a job.
And there are a lot of people out there with busy jobs, even though they've got employees as well. Yeah. But they just don't have enough. So I think one of the things we've found is that there's a way that people think about this that really holds them back. And the reason I wanted to do the pod today on this topic is we were at an event we ran a few weeks ago with our members. We had about 350 people we were talking with at this event. And I got asked this five or six times, you know, I'm thinking of hiring this person, but when's the right time? And I'm thinking of hiring this person, but I'm a bit concerned if it doesn't work out. They're all the same question, which is basically, I'm scared about doing this in case it doesn't work. Please, you know, give me some encouragement. Was kind of what the question is. So I think this is really important to dig into.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's not going to be a foreign feeling to most of the listeners. So I think let's get into it. And I'm sure you have a story to kick us off.
I do have a story. I quite like this story. I watched this movie recently. It's a good movie, actually. it's about Napoleon Bonaparte back in 1812.
Bit of Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, Joaquin is a good actor, that guy.
He is anyway, a good actor.
He was at the height of his power in 1812, in fact.
Joaquin or Napoleon?
Napoleon, I think. I had to think about that for a minute. Yeah, yeah.
Almost gotcha.
It's not hard, eh? Anyway, he controlled most of Europe. He was used to winning. Like many business owners we work with, he had a big problem. He was fighting, you know, battles on too many fronts. So he'd been stuck in Spain for years with a grinding sort of guerrilla war. He was trying to beat the Spanish, and they were backed by the British. So he was kind of been got at it all sides. It was chewing through soldiers, supplies, and energy. And at the same time, he was locked in an economic war with Great Britain. So there was blockages on the sea. Like, obviously, Great Britain had a strong navy. So there was constant skirmishes and trade enforcements and diplomacy going on. So it was pretty full on. He also had large armies in Germany and Italy and the Netherlands just to hold on to the territory he'd already run. So, because there was always, you know, rebellion brewing.
Yeah, well, people want their land back.
They do, they do. And he had Austria and Prussia to watch as well, which were, you know, sort of former enemies, which are reluctantly agreeing to help him. So it was a tough gig for him. Obviously, a lot of it was self-inflicted. But anyway, that's not the point. Despite all of that, because he had a massive ego and wanted more, he decided to launch a massive invasion of Russia. So he marched 600,000-odd troops while still fighting all those other wars. And the Russians retreated. They burnt literally everything as they went. So Napoleon's army had no food or shelter, nothing. They reached Moscow. They found it, you know, basically abandoned and on fire. Winter hit, disease, starvation, a constant Russian attack. So he was forced to retreat. It was an absolute unmitigated disaster. and they staggered back across the border. They had less than 100,000 men left, so his army's completely decimated, absolutely totaled. Obviously, his empire never recovered. And the thing is, trying to do everything all of the time, all at once, drained his focus and the resources he needed to win. And there's a big lesson there, you know. If you're trying to do everything all of the time and you think you know you can do everything, it's pretty tough. And that happens in business when we don't have the right resources and the help to get things done, because he was just spread too thin. You need to double the amount of troops to actually do this job.
Yeah, well, if not more.
If not more. So if we're not bringing in the reinforcements properly, we could lose the war and certainly your weekends anyway.
Yeah, definitely. So we don't want that to happen.
Yeah, so you got to be careful about, you know, the resourcing you have.
Yeah, definitely. And I think if we don't have the right resourcing in our business, we run into some big problems.
Yeah, well, you've got to work all the hours. You know, you're thinking about, well, probably next month will be easier, but it won't. But you are just grinding it out, trying to cover everything off. And your business actually will plateau because you can't do any more. Like, there's literally no more that you can do. Even though you think you can and you pile your to-do list up, you literally only have 24 hours a day. You're not special because you're a business owner. And you can't obviously work all of those, although, you know, sometimes we try, which is not a great strategy. And so your business plateaus, and often it actually reduces because you run out of energy. And this happens as well. You think you need help and you're under so much pressure and you actually probably hire some bad people as well. You know, like you get it wrong because you're desperate. Someone's got a pulse, you're like, oh, they'll do.
Yeah,
and that's no good. And then you can overload your existing team as well, so the whole thing comes under pressure. It causes burnout. You're in a state of distress all the time. You never really get off the tools. You're still out in the field most of the time. You're in the office, you're trying to do everything, and you just can't create the lifestyle you want. So it's very, very tricky.
Yeah, capacity is key. And I think if we do have the right resourcing in our business, you know, on the other hand, big upsides.
Yeah, well, you free yourself up. You can get the resources you need. You get out of the day-to-day firefighting. You can focus on actually growing your business, you know, building new markets, building systems, doing the high-value work that seldom gets done when you're under-resourced. You can hire people into the roles that you need and help. They can grow your business for you, and then you can have time to work on the business, as I said. And your business becomes easier to run as well because you've just got more help. It becomes more profitable, less dependent on you, and you actually create a business that's not just a chaotic, moderately paying job, which is what you want.
Yeah, and you can take actual time off, you know, because obviously in this case you've got people that are able to do other things, you know, not just you, and so as a result, what you can go away, you can have a holiday, a vacation, you can take some time away from your business, and there are other people there that can do all the key functions and get the jobs done and everything, and it doesn't fall apart because you have that capacity. And so I think you don't just get the time and money, but you get that freedom as well, which I think is what we're all after. So where do we start with this, man? Because I think it is a really big mindset problem. You know, and as you said earlier, like, sure, there's the capacity issue, but I think more importantly, there's that fear that sits behind it around what if this goes wrong.
Yeah, and like I said at the top, we were at an event with a bunch of our members, and I got asked this so many times, 4 or 5 times at least, which is like, hey, when's the right time to hire an operations manager? And the other variation was, when's the right time to hire an estimator? It's a similar sort of question. Basically, if you go underneath the surface, that question is like, I know I need some more help. I want to get this right, but I'm scared that I'll muck it up. So you dress it up in what's the right time?
Yeah.
But really the question is, how do I do this? I kind of know I need to. I need some encouragement to do it, but I'm scared it'll mess up. What if I cock it up? What if it goes bad? What if I lose money? What if they're no good? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's really fear.
Yeah.
Underneath it is fear. And it's fear of it not working out. It's fear of the employee being no good. It's fear of not having enough work. What if I train them and they leave? There's a whole bunch of stuff there.
Well, if we dig into a couple of those, I mean, like, the fear of the employee being no good, I think that's actually the real fear, because a lot of the time we fear hiring a role. Like, what if I get a tradesman and hey, look, they're no good? And I'm like, well, that means the tradesman was no good. It doesn't mean you didn't need the tradesman. And so the real fear is your ability to, you know, hire a good tradesman, your ability to find, identify, hire on board. You know, if you think about an estimator, it's like, well, what if the estimator role doesn't work? I'm like, well, hang on, mate, if you get an estimator in here, you're going to bang out a lot more pricing than you're doing now. Like, even just on averages, you're going to win more work than you're winning now. They're going to pay for themselves easily. The only way this doesn't happen is if the estimator sucks, but that's because the person sucks, not because you didn't need an estimator. Does that make sense? So I think, like,
I agree, but sometimes, I mean, that's definitely true, but sometimes when you're in this position, you're totally overloaded. You don't actually see that it's a need as well.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's another thing.
But I think that fear of hiring, often we're saying, what if it doesn't work? But I think a lot of the time, the thing that might not work is more the person than the role.
For sure.
And so I think, you know, we lump those in together too often. And actually, it's not that the role didn't work, it's that the person didn't perform. And so, like, that's actually a completely different fear to have. And I think the reason why we often ignore that part of the fear is because that puts it back on you. Like, it means it's not an external problem where, like, hey, you know, turns out having an estimator is a bad idea, or having an ops manager, or having more tradesmen. It's that you didn't hire very well, which becomes your problem, your flaw. And I think that's just harder to accept sometimes. And so we don't like to go there first. But the reality is if you think you need, you know, more help on the tools, you do. Like, otherwise you wouldn't be thinking it. You know, and again, you might think, oh, what if we don't get enough work? I'm like, yeah, well, again, what if you do? You can't chase any more work unless you have more tradesmen to do the work. You can't win any more work unless you can bang out more pricing, which means you need more pricing capacity, which means you need, you know, someone in pricing. You can't take on more tradesmen to do more work unless there's management capacity to actually handle those tradesmen. And if we attack the other question that you had there, was what if I train them and they leave? I mean, it's like, well, what if you don't train them and they stay? And that's even worse. So the reality is, if you're putting training into these people, firstly, unlikely they'll leave, because they're getting better, they're improving, and that's, you know, probably going to relate to them doing better at work, feeling more job satisfaction, maybe even getting paid more. They're going to do better, perform, and they're going to want to stay. But also, if you don't train them, then it becomes that self-fulfilling prophecy of what if the employee's no good? It's like, well, you didn't train them, so how can they be any good?
I think what you're hitting on there is very important. The fear is there, and often we haven't done this before. Well, most of the time when the fear is the highest is when we haven't done it before. So sometimes as a business owner, we don't even know what we're looking for in an ops manager, or what, you know, a good estimator even looks like. And so we're concerned when we do the interview process is like, how will I know if they're even any good? And that's part of the fear that sits there as well, which feeds into, well, I might cock this up and it's not going to work. So that's very real. For me, the thing with all of this is the fear is focusing on what the cost could be. You know, the cost of a mistake, the cost of it not working out, the kind of immediate, you know, cost of it being a muck-up, basically. Now, that's fair enough. But the trouble is we don't really focus on what it's costing us not to do it. This is a big issue, and this is the big shift that needs to come. You're looking at the cost that could happen, but you need to really look, you know, be very clear and look in the mirror. What's the cost that's actually happening now if I take no action? And that cost is very real, even though it's more difficult to understand. But when you think about it, it's actually not that difficult. And so the cost is the stress, the overwhelm, the burnout that you're experiencing from trying to do everything. The cost is the overload of all the other employees that you have potentially, and the fact that they're stressed out and perhaps it's hurting their engagement and their, you know, they're more of them are turning over than they should. The cost is the loss of margin that you have at the moment. Let's take an operations manager, for example. Let's say you've got five technicians. You're still managing the jobs and you're doing the estimating. Well, I can guarantee what's happening is there's mistakes on the jobs. Your margin is probably 5 to 8% lower than it should be in your P&L on a monthly basis, because you literally cannot be across everything and things are falling through the cracks. That's a very real cost that you don't understand at the moment.
Yeah, and I mean, that could be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, depending on your revenue, more depending on your revenue.
The next cost is the opportunity cost. There's so much work, profit, and lifestyle you're missing out on because you're locked in this fear of what might go wrong. So, you know, you're missing out on potentially doubling the revenue of your business and maybe, you know, increasing the profit by 150%.
Well, again, I know it's hard to listen to numbers here, and I know it might be difficult, but I want to go through some numbers just real quick, just to try to make this point. You know, we might say, oh, but I'm going to have to pay a new tradesman, you know, maybe $40 an hour. You know, it's a big expense. I'm like, cool, but, you know, average tradesman's going to do 25-30K worth of revenue per month.
Sometimes more.
Yeah, so even if we look on the bare bones of this, like the lower end, 25K a month is 300K in revenue per year. If you got a 40% GP, it's 120 grand in extra profit that you can make per year by having this person. And you think, oh, well, yeah, but less their wages. I'm like, no, their wages are already paid. That was in the cost of goods. So your GP on this is 120K. That's pure profit per year. And then you say, oh, but there's startup costs. I've got to get a van. I've got to get uniforms. I'm like, yeah, cool. So maybe it's a little bit less in year one, but in year two, it's pure profit. And that's on the lower end of the scale. And you miss out on all of that by not paying that $40 per hour. Not to mention that you don't pay that up front on day one. And you look at some of the overhead roles.
Which are what really do people's heads in. Because, with the tradies or the techs, they're like, well, I'm earning money at least.
Yeah, they're out there earning money. But on the other hand, if you look at overhead roles, it's like, oh, man, but this is just going straight off of my OPEX, which is just going to be eaten straight into my bottom line. But let's look at that ops manager. You know, in this case, the biggest reason you get an ops manager is so you can grow the capacity of your on-site team. Because you can't manage too many tradesmen. Like you said earlier, things are going to slip through the cracks, quality's going to go down. But on the other hand, if I get an ops manager, I can now further grow that team on the tools. So, if we figured out one tradesman is going to be worth maybe 120 grand profit per year, well, having an ops manager might allow you to get two more, three more, four more. So you're getting three or four times that extra profit. And sure, the ops manager might cost you 120, 130 grand a year, but you're making 120 grand a year per tradesman you add underneath them. Not to mention all of the improvement that you will get in things like, GP, which is again going to pay for the ops manager pretty much on its own anyway. So with a tradesman, you get a linear payoff. But with those off-the-tools roles, those office roles, like an ops manager, you get an exponential payoff because it allows so much more capacity of work to be done. I mean, you take an estimator, same thing. If you're winning $1 million worth of work in a year, that's your yearly revenue. And let's say it's taking you 20 hours of your time per week because you've got a bunch of other stuff you're doing to price enough work to win that $1 million. Imagine if someone was pricing twice as much as you. They're pricing literally 40 hours a week. And again, let's just say they're not as good as you, or maybe you don't have enough work to get double the pricing out. Cool, well, let's say it's just half as much again. Just half as much again in that double the time. Cool, so you're now $1.5 million per year revenue, not one. So having that estimator made you 500 grand in the year in extra revenue. And so it's like, sure, they might have cost 120 grand or something in terms of salary. But if you don't pay that 120 over the course of the next year, you will lose 500K over the course of the next year.
And that's the key thing. We're focusing on the now cost. We're not focusing on the opportunity cost, which is all the stuff you're missing out on. And to really get some leverage on yourself, and give yourself an uppercut about being a bit of a sissy about getting this done, is like, you've got to understand the opportunity cost. Because when you do that, you're like, flipping heck, this is a no-brainer. I need to make this happen. I need to get on and put my big boy pants on and make the decision, particularly around those overhead roles, those roles that aren't in the field. And I get it. So you make that decision. Then you're like, well, I haven't done this before. What if I muck it up? Well, nobody's good at this the first time. This is the whole point. Nobody's confident in things they haven't done. So, the first time you do this, maybe you don't get it perfect. That doesn't mean it's not a bad idea. It means you just maybe didn't get it perfect. So the more you hire, the more you manage people, the better you get at this. And your confidence with this will improve over time. But it won't improve if you do nothing and you stay stuck and you're, I'm too scared shell to do stuff. And this probably sounds harsh, but actually that's what it is. Sometimes we've really got to grow up here, as it were, and make it happen.
Yeah,
what we find is, when we have our member events and our coaching group, is the people who have done this really encourage the people who are struggling with it, because it gives them the view of what it's like. That's all you need, is that encouragement. And so if you're in this position today, I'm giving you the encouragement. Just flip and do it.
I love at our events when someone says, I'm thinking about hiring an office manager.
Yeah.
Now, I don't care where you're at in your business journey, you probably need an office manager already. We'll be up on stage and we'll just ask the entire audience, anyone here got an office manager? Most of the hands go up and we go, does anyone here wish they did it earlier?
Yeah.
And all the hands go back up.
That's right.
Does everybody here reckon they should just get one? All the hands go up. It's scary until you've done it. But all the people that have done it are going to tell you should have done it ages ago. Because capacity is key. You really can't grow, improve, or get time, energy, anything unless you have capacity to do it. And like you said, people can be really scared of things they haven't done, but you can't ever learn new stuff or practice training your team or practice managing people if you don't have the time and headspace to do it. And so if you're way too tapped because you just don't have enough resourcing, not only do you not know how to do this thing, but you'll never be able to learn either or practice because you don't have time. And so you actually need the capacity first in order to be able to improve in the things that you don't know. Like it's crucial.
Yeah. And I know, you make the decision. You're like, yep, I've given myself an uppercut. Taking the hard call, I've put the ad out there for an estimator, great. And now I'm like, but what happens if we don't have enough work to keep them busy? Well, that may be the case. That's a good thing, because what it's going to do is it creates the vacuum. It means that you now have to actually, as a business, get good at generating more work. And if you want to create the business that you say you want, which is time, money, freedom, you are going to need to grow the business. And to do that, you're going to need to get more leads and more jobs and more projects across the line. And so until you create that vacuum, you're never going to put any pressure on your system to do that. And this is how growth works. It's like you go to the gym, you put your muscles under tension, the fibers break down, they rebuild stronger. It's the same process here. You've got to really put the business and yourself under some pressure to learn these skills. And so you create the vacuum, you got some space. Well, funnily enough, revenue tends to grow anyway because there's some opportunities you've been missing out on because you were too busy. Pushing service work out, the lead times are too long, you're not pricing enough work because you're too busy. Poor service due to busyness, no marketing activities, missing out on the referrals from the work that you didn't do.
No one has time to try to upsell that job because they're rushing to the next one.
That's right. But when you have more mouths to feed, you have to get good at marketing. And so that's what you do. So you turn your mind to that and all of a sudden you fill up that new estimator, for example, or you keep that operations person busy. And this is a mistake that sometimes happens. People make these decisions, do the hire, and then they're like, they just sort of sit on their hands. Well, no, you can't do that. To make it work, you've actually got to do the other stuff to fill them up as well, which is the marketing and the sales work.
And dude, it is scary.
For sure.
I think about baseball, right? Like, you know, you've hit a good shot. You run out to first base and you're like, cool, I'm there. I've made my first bit, you know?
Yep.
But at some point, you need to get to second base. Now, in order to do that, you have to leave first base, which is going to make you vulnerable.
Yep.
You know, you're like, I could get out now. And that whole time you're running to second, you could get out. But also, it's like the point of the game is not to stay on first. You do need to get to second. And then you're going to need to leave second to get to third. You're going to need to leave third to get home.
Yep.
And the point is like you need to get all the way around to get a run. So the thing is there's always that fear of leaving that point of safety. But you do need to leave that point of safety in order to get any better than you are right now. And so I think that fear, like we might think it goes away. Look, it doesn't go away. I mean, me and you even still get apprehensive with some hires.
Well, you do. I'm pretty...
Well, actually, it's probably the other way around. I'm just like, bugger it, we'll do it.
You just don't tell me.
Yeah, I just don't tell you. And then they turn up on the team meeting and
that's right. You're
like, who's that?
It's great. I love it.
You know, point is you know, like you do get a little bit more comfortable with some roles. Like you might get to a point where you're like, I used to be scared of hiring tradesmen and now, you know, no drama. You know, take one on. We need the capacity. We just take on a tradesman. But that person's probably scared about hiring team leaders, you know, and then the person who's grown past that and they're like, no, that's cool. I understand the management capacity and ease, and hiring an ops manager makes sense. Hiring team leaders makes sense. But, oh, I don't know about hiring that marketer. You know, the thing is it carries on. There's always going to be a role in your business that you're a bit apprehensive. What if it doesn't work? You know, but the thing is that if you do need the capacity, you do need the capacity. You're not going to be able to push past a bottleneck in your business unless you actually have the capacity to push past that bottleneck. And that's always true.
That's just one of the laws of business.
Yeah, and it'll always feel scary, but that's just kind of how it works. So. Yeah.
And there's a few things, you know, you can do from a practical perspective. I don't think we need to go into all of these now. We've done pods on a lot of these, but to really nail this in a practical way, you know, hire at 80% capacity. Don't wait till you're completely tapped out, because it's way harder to hire well when you're totally under the pump because you make bad decisions.
Well, ironically, most of those people that were asking you at the event, man,
they were
120% capacity. Right. And they're like, do you think it's the right time? I'm like, brother.
Brother, it's time.
It was time ages ago.
Yeah, exactly. So that's important. And follow a good hiring process. And we've talked about that a lot. Don't wing it. You know, hiring is the most important thing you do because it's the highest leverage activity. And when you have taken people on board, you know, if you've got really good financial disciplines in your business, you're costing jobs, you're doing a regular monthly P&L balance sheet and doing your receivables, you'll see how things are going. You know, and so if things are a little bit off track, which, hey, let's be honest, sometimes they're not perfect and it doesn't work out perfectly. You can see what's happening. You've got KPIs on the roles. You can see how they're tracking. If they're a little bit off track, you can retrain. And if they're off track for a couple of months, maybe it's time to, you know, is this the right person? And you can readjust. You don't go for 12 months with a ship going in the wrong direction. And that's where people get into real trouble. So real clear metrics, you can see what's happening and you can take corrective action, which, you know, you need to do. That's part of running a business.
Yeah, and sometimes that might mean that you need to ramp things up a bit, but sometimes as well, it might mean that maybe you did make a bad hire. And, you know, hey, the beauty of that is, you know, you don't need to keep them. Like, you know, someone doesn't need to cost you 120 grand over a year if they weren't good enough to make it past month two. You know, you move them on. You know, if they're not able to perform, that's cool. You don't have to keep paying someone who sucks.
Well, like, and that's another whole fair discussion, right? Because sometimes you will do nothing because you're scared of, you know, confronting them. So that might be another uppercut you've got to give yourself to crack on.
Right, and we won't go too far down that rabbit hole, but I think my point is like, you're not committed to ever paying anyone's salary if they're not able to earn it as well. So, I mean, whereas if they're earning it, you'll be happy to pay it. So
More than happy.
Yeah, more than happy. So it is what it is. And I think that takes a, you know, really strong leadership and management. So in order to be confident in that, firstly, like, you need to be a confident enough leader to, you know, back your decision and make the right calls around those numbers you're looking at so that you can actually make the role work. You need to be confident enough as a leader that you can, you know, manage this person, keep them on task, keep them performing, hold them to their KPIs, improve them where they need improvement, you know, through training and things like that, provide the systems that they need to perform, and then, you know, also have the strength where it's like, if you've done everything that you possibly can, the training, the systems, the compliance, the leadership, the management, and they still can't perform, you need the strength to know that person may not be right, move them on, replace them with someone who can do the job. Yep. And all of that comes back to you. But whether or not this works, whether or not your fears come true, is completely within your control.
That's a great point. And it's the old adage that making the right decision is half the story, but making the decision right is the other half.
Yeah.
And that's how you actually action the decision when you've made it.
Yeah. No hiring decision can be wrong if you have taken the right action steps to make it work. You know, whereas the only way that hiring decision, you know, for what role it is, I mean, obviously you can hire the wrong person, but for the role, the only way that's not going to work is if you don't do the things to make it work. So really the beauty of that and the dismay in that is that it's on you. You know, like, the good news is it's on you. You can do this. You can make it work. The bad news is it's on you. You need to make it work.
And if you've made the wrong hiring decision, that's okay. That happens. That is part of the process, and you'll figure out where you went wrong, and it's probably because you didn't quite understand exactly what the qualities were needed in that role, and you kind of hired, just, you know, it wasn't quite the fit, and next time you've learned, you know, there's no failure, there's just feedback, and you take that into the next role.
That's right. So I think we've gone through some good stuff, man. Should we land this plane?
Let's do it. So hiring, it can be scary, but also running yourself into the ground is scary. Now, if you want a bigger and better business, you just can't do it solo. So the sooner you build a strong team, the sooner you actually get the time, money, and freedom that you deserve. So remember, you're not just hiring hands, you're actually building your future. Thanks heaps for listening. We'll catch you all again next time.
See you later. Next week on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
One bad review can feel like a wrecking ball to your reputation, scaring off customers before they even call. Now, you feel angry and powerless, as you know, buyers always check reviews these days. Now, tune into this episode where we talk through how to fight back, how to bury the negatives, flood your business with positive reviews, and turn your online feedback into a sales and marketing weapon. Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie Podcast.